this wonderful prophecy of Elizabeth had to be such a blessing to the young woman Mary. To know the circumstances that she was in, to know what she had just committed herself to, and how she had freely trusted in the Lord in saying, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy words." How she must have been tempted to doubt and to be afraid because of what the Lord had called her to. But she arose and she went to the house of Zacharias and she saluted Elizabeth. And Elizabeth gave forth that wonderful prophecy that just came as she was led by the Spirit of God. She gave forth that wonderful prophecy, and you just see the edification, and you see the building up of Mary. You see the encouragement. You see the comfort that all of her doubts were just erased. All of her fears were just driven away. And this is what prophecy should do. It should so bless and build up that all the evil thoughts of the enemy are driven out. All the concerns are taken away, and God's people are comforted and blessed. Look at how Mary responded to this wonderful prophecy. Look at how she responded as she was led by the Holy Spirit. This is called, in Christian theology, this declaration of Mary is called the Magnificat. And I believe from its context, and I believe from the overall context of God's Word and the usage of the word prophecy, that this was genuine prophecy coming from Mary, coming not from her spirit, but from not from the spirit of man, but from the Holy Spirit as she gave it forth. Because you just see the edification, you see the praise, you see the blessing, you see the spontaneous response of her, and this came from no other source but from the Holy Spirit. And Mary said, "My soul," verse 46, "my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath holpen," or helped, "his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever." You see, there was a complete thought. And when you give forth prophecy, it's to be a complete thought. Just let the Holy Spirit lead you. He'll give you that first word. He inspires you, let's say, to stand up in a church service or to speak out in a church service. He will give you that first word, and then you just run with it. You just let it flow. You just let it flow until it just comes to a natural and normal conclusion. You'll know in your spirit. The Holy Spirit will just quietly say within you, "That's it." Or he'll say, "Amen." Or he'll show you that prophecy is done, that it's completed. It just comes to a complete ending. Prophecy, as you give it forth, will always be a complete thought. See, it may be a short thought. It may be just a few sentences. It may be just one sentence. Or it could be a rather lengthy discourse. It could be over several minutes. I've seen many. This is how prophecy works. And it's always edifying. It always builds people up. That's what the word edification means. By way of exhortation and comfort. You may, in your ministry and working with people, be led to give a word of prophecy. But those prophecies will always be edification by way of exhortation and comfort. You don't prophesy that somebody should marry somebody else. No, that's not how prophecy works. You don't prophesy that somebody should get a new job or that somebody should move from one place to another place. No, the prophecy of sons and daughters is always in the category of edification, exhortation, and comfort. You don't try to manipulate or control someone else's life by prophecy, because 99 times out of 100, that prophecy won't be coming from the Holy Spirit. It'll be coming from the spirit of man or from a demon spirit. You see, I'm just very concerned and I'm very careful when somebody gives me a word of prophecy. I want to know whether that it's the true spirit of God or whether it's something coming that they have thought up themselves out of the spirit of man, or whether it's coming from an evil spirit. See, I'm just very concerned about prophecy, and I have this all the time. People want to prophesy over me, or people want to send me a word of prophecy, or people want to give me a word of prophecy. I usually turn them down. That's right. I just say, thank you. No thanks. I'd rather not. But sometimes they come up to me and they give a word of prophecy, and if I don't sense or if I don't receive that confirmation in my spirit that it's coming from the Holy Spirit, then I just smile and let them say what they want to say, but I don't receive it within. I just shut down on the inside. I don't receive it within because I know it's where it's coming from. And I don't want to be rude or mean to them, but I'm not going to receive something unless my spirit confirms that it's coming from the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit can speak to me and tell me whether what I'm hearing is coming from Him or whether it's coming from another source. See, and I'm just very careful about this manifestation of prophecy because it is listed sixth in the manifestations of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and there's tremendous error that comes into the church by way of wrong usages of prophecy. The genuine prophecy of a son or a daughter will have these great truths of edification, exhortation, and comfort in them. Very general truths. Very general truths. The ministry of a prophet will still have that tenderness in it. It'll still have that kindness in it, even though it may be reproof and correction. That's right. Many times I've seen the ministry of a prophet work where you don't realize that you've been reproved until 3 days later, after he's left. But he's been so kind and so loving and yet so bold and so powerful and so sharp by the Spirit of God that he accomplishes the Spirit's work without hurting people. Hallelujah. That's right. That's right. On the other hand, I've seen people prophesy and it's just like they're sticking knives into your soul. It's just like they're carving you up with a big knife. And that's not the Holy Spirit. It's not the Holy Spirit. And I don't care if the man who's giving that forth has all the degrees, he has all the titles, he has all the authority. He's not speaking by the Spirit of God because of the fruit that it's producing in the lives of people. If people walk out and they feel like they've been cut apart by the Spirit, that Spirit that has cut them apart is not the Holy Spirit. That's right. It's not the Holy Spirit. It's coming from some other source. From the source of the God who steals, kills, and destroys, not from the true God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's right. See, so we have to be very careful when it comes to discerning prophecy or judging prophecy. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Bless your heart. This will get you out of a lot of error if you're just sharp and if you're just discerning. This will help keep you out of a lot of problems. In verse 29, it says, let the prophet speak two or three, and let the other people who are in the congregation, let them judge. They are to judge that prophecy. You know, if you get a prophecy from a prophet and he doesn't want you to judge his prophecy, then I would be very, very concerned about whether his prophecy is coming from the Lord or not. Because a true man of God will be humble enough to allow you to judge his prophecy, whether his prophecy is coming from the Lord or not. In fact, if, 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 If a prophet knows it's coming from the Lord, he's not going to be concerned at all about you judging it, because he knows that if you have proper discernment, you'll see the Spirit of God working in his life. See? Never have to worry about it. But you have to be careful when people give you words of prophecy. You have to be careful. You have to judge it. You have to judge it. Because it can come from one of three sources, either from the Holy Spirit, or from the spirit of man, or from an evil spirit. And the person giving it, who's giving that prophecy, will be just as sincere, just as sweet, just as looking good on the outside when they're speaking by an evil spirit as when they are speaking by the Spirit of God. You can't judge from the external appearance. You got to judge as the Holy Spirit teaches you and shows you. See? Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're going to spend a few minutes more on prophecy. And the reason why we're spending so much time on prophecy is because it's such a big problem, not only in the church, but also the indication of the Word of God, it being listed sixth. I want to help you to be able to prophesy, but I want you to understand the difference between genuine prophecy and false prophecy, so that you don't get into false prophecy, but that you stay on the genuine side, allowing yourself to be led by the Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. In verse 19, it says, "Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesyings," verse 20. "Prove all things," verse 21. "Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good." Hold fast that which is good. We're to prove all things. The word prove means to test, like you'd test the quality or the genuineness of a metal. That's right. Like you'd test the quality or the genuineness of a metal. You've got to be able to test the spirits. You got to be able to test what you see in the spirit realm. And you have to learn to walk with great discernment to discern what's coming from the Holy Spirit and what isn't. See? Now, there are different tests that we can give to the words of prophecy that we hear. There are different tests that we can give. You see, a genuine prophecy by the Holy Spirit, coming from the Holy Spirit, will always fit with the Word of God. It'll flow with the Word of God. That's right. It'll fit with the Word of God. You'll never hear prophecy from the Holy Spirit that contradicts the Scriptures. See? There's our first basic test of whether a prophecy is genuine or not. How does it fit with the Scriptures? What do the Scriptures say? What does the Word of God say? Because the same Holy Spirit that spoke the Scriptures into being is the same Holy Spirit that speaks through genuine prophecy today. That's right. And He'll never contradict Himself. He'll never contradict Himself. Especially in the category of sons and daughters, it should be so simple to see the edification, exhortation, and comfort in that prophecy, if it's the prophecy of sons and daughters. That's right. Now, the content of the message. The content of the message. Demons. Listen, this is very important to understand. Demons do prophesy. They prophesy through people, religious people, Christian people at times. That's right. They do prophesy. And at times their messages will have truth in it. They'll have truth in it. But the devil uses truth to disguise and to cover up the error that he's trying to introduce. That's right. If you look in Job chapter 4 sometime, in verse 13, you'll see a prophecy by a demon spirit. A prophecy by a demon spirit, and he's speaking truth in most of it. That's right. So you've got to be sharp when you hear prophecy. You can discern prophecy by the content of the message. And also the genuine prophecy of the Spirit of God, either whether it's in the category of the ministry of a prophet or whether it's in the category of the manifestation of prophet, it will always have a benefit to it. Do you realize that many times Jesus didn't say anything? Why was that? because his words wouldn't have any benefit. They weren't going to change the circumstance. They weren't going to change the situation. In fact, at his trial, he didn't open his mouth. He didn't speak anything. At his trial before the Sanhedrin and his trial before Pilate, he didn't answer anything. Why? Because he knew his words would have no value. They would have no profit to them. That's right. Many times, the Holy Spirit is leading, but he's leading people to shut up, to be quiet, rather than leading people to speak. This idea that you always have to speak all the time about everything, or that you always have to confront a problem, is not the true leading of the Spirit of God. You let yourself be led, and at times you will be led to be quiet rather than to speak. And there's nothing wrong with that. Because even if you spoke, the words that you spoke would not be profitable for the situation. When Job's comforters came to him, and you can read the book of Job, they spoke many, many truths, but they were not truths that were accurate to Job's situation. They spoke great truth, but the truths that they spoke were not accurate in use in Job's situation. They should have been quiet. They should have just stayed quiet, because the words that they spoke were unprofitable. There was no profit in them. See? When you speak by the Spirit of God, you will speak the right word at the right time. It's possible to speak the right word at the wrong time. And that is not by the Spirit of God. When you speak by the Spirit of God, you will speak the right word at the right time. See? This is one of the ways that you discern genuine and true prophecy. It'll be the right word at the right time. And the fourth great consideration or test that we give to prophecy is the confirmation of the Holy Spirit within us. The confirmation of the Holy Spirit within us. Look at 1 John chapter 5. And this is a truth that we will study and take a lot of time to study later on in the class when we talk about Revelation. Because you have an inward witness. You have an inward witness. And that by the inward witness is the primary way that the Holy Spirit or the Lord speaks to us in these days, you know, revelation-wise, when he gives revelation. It's by an inward witness. An inward witness. And we'll talk about this as we get into Revelation. But I want to bring this up now in light of discerning prophecy and whether you can tell whether prophecy is from the Spirit of God or from the spirit of man or from an evil spirit. The inward witness. In verse 10, it says of 1 John chapter 5, verse 10, "He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, but because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. But he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself." You see, the Holy Spirit witnesses with your spirit. Look at Romans chapter 8. And again, we'll have this later on in the class, and it'll be a little bit of repetition, but we'll add to it and help you to understand it even more. But this is very, very important. The Spirit itself, verse 16 of Romans chapter 8, "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." The Holy Spirit will bear witness with your spirit when the true Spirit of God is in manifestation. He'll also bear witness with your spirit when something other than the true Spirit of God is in manifestation. You see, you stay sensitive to the Holy Spirit. You stay sensitive to how he's working in your spirit, and he'll always let you know what's going on. He wants you to be sharp. He wants you to be knowledgeable. He doesn't want you to be torn apart by what you're hearing or by what's going on around you. He doesn't want you to be torn apart by demons. So you stay quiet in your spirit, and you listen. And you learn to be aware and be sensitive of how the Holy Spirit is working within your spirit. If it feels good in your spirit, That is a witness in your spirit that what you're hearing is from the Holy Spirit. But if you have a doubt or a check or a hesitancy in your spirit, you know, just within you, the very depths of you, something on the inside is saying, wait a minute, this doesn't sound right, wait a minute, this isn't fitting for me. And maybe you can't even identify from the Word of God where it's wrong. See, but just within your spirit, something is saying, no, that's not right. I would be very, very careful in that situation, because you're getting a witness in your spirit that something is wrong. See, when the true Spirit of God is in manifestation, the Holy Spirit within you will witness to the Holy Spirit's actions on the outside, if you let Him. See, if you're sensitive to your spirit and you're sensitive to the leading of the Spirit, that's how He'll work. But these are the things that we use to test prophecy. This is how we learn to discern between truth and error. And ladies and gentlemen, we have to grow in our discernment so that we're not defeated. You have to begin to be aware that not everything that glitters, so to speak, is really gold. You have to be aware that not everything that looks good really is good. You have to be aware and learn to discern between truth and error. And this is part of learning to grow up and be a son of God, as opposed to being a child of God. This is learning to be led by the Holy Spirit. See? We're thankful. We're never rude. We never want to be unkind to people. And we don't want to be even unkind to people who prophesy by demon spirits. We just want to be loving towards them. But we also want to be very aware of the source of the words which they speak, so that we don't receive them into our spirits, so that we're not deceived by them. See? If you're going to be spiritual, you have to be filled with the spirit of meekness. If you're going to be able to help other people, that's right. So we're always meek to people, and we're always kind, and we're always courteous on the outside. But on the inside, we're very sharp and very aware of what's happening spiritually, so that we can help God's people and so that we don't get deceived ourselves. That's right. You see, this is spiritual utterance. This is spiritual utterance. These manifestations of speaking in tongues, interpretation, and prophecy, these are spiritual utterance manifestations. And these are very, very important. These are very, very important in you being able to walk with the power of God, because you have to be able to speak words that build faith in others. You have to be, you use your spiritual authority by the words that you speak. That's right. We've been talking about exercising spiritual authority, and you use your spiritual authority by the words that you speak. But you need to learn to let your words be led by the Holy Spirit. And that's what speaking in tongues is all about, because as you speak in tongues, you are speaking by the Spirit of God as the Spirit gives the utterance. And then as you interpret tongues in your native language, you are interpreting, you are speaking in your native language as you're led by the Holy Spirit and giving that full and complete message by the Holy Spirit in interpretation of tongues. And then in prophecy, as you're led by the Holy Spirit, you speak those words. You give that message, or you give that word that you're inspired by the Holy Spirit to give, and that word blesses and encourages and builds people up, enables them to believe God. It doesn't tear down, it doesn't destroy, it doesn't ruin faith, it builds faith. See? And that's what we need to do. And that's what we do when we're speaking as we're being led by the Holy Spirit. We're ministering grace one to another by the Spirit of God. You see, our formula for spiritual results, the formula for spiritual results is grace and love. First of all, knowing that God is sovereign, that God can do what He wants to do, when He wants to do it, without anybody's permission, without anybody's advice. Grace, we know that grace and love times spiritual utterance plus spiritual knowledge plus spiritual faith produces spiritual results. Now, I have a test I want to give you right now. That's right. I want to give you a test where you either answer these statements as being true or false. They'll either be true or false. So you guys who are sitting in here in the recording session, you can speak out loud as well as I ask these questions. Now, the first statement is, and I want you to give a true or a false answer to this, and then I will give you the accurate answer. Miracles are done by God, true or false?
True.
And that's true. The true answer to that is, it's true. Miracles are done by you.
False.
The answer is false. Miracles are done by words. The answer is
false.
Miracles are done by words with faith. The answer is false. Miracles are done by words of revelation with faith.
False.
You do miracles by speaking words of revelation with faith. True or false?
False.
You do miracles by speaking words of revelation with faith in love. True or false?
False.
God does miracles when you speak words of revelation with faith in love.
True.
There you go. God can do miracles without you speaking words of revelation with faith and love.
True.
That's right. That's a wonderful test in light of that formula for spiritual results. You see, God can do what he wants, when he wants, without anybody's permission and without anybody's advice. But you and I can only do things. We can only do things as we're led by the Spirit of God, and then he does the miracles through us. God, you're not the miracle worker. You just administer the miracle, the working of a miracle. You're not the healer. Jesus is the healer through you. You just give the gift that he gives to you. See? All glory goes to God. All glory goes to God for all the results that we do as we're led by the Spirit. We don't take the glory for ourselves. We don't call ourselves healers. We don't call ourselves, you know, miracle workers. We don't call ourselves these great things because it's not us who does the miracles. It's He who does the miracles in us and through us as we are led by the Spirit. And this is what enables us to operate the power of God. This is what enables our lives to be a glory to Him. Now, we need to talk about spiritual utterance. We need to talk about the truths of spiritual utterance in light of this formula. And in John chapter 14, it says in verse 10, "Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he does the works." John 14:10. You see, spiritual works are done by words. That's right. As you are led by the Spirit, you do that which the Lord inspires you to do, which releases Him to do His work and to bring His power into manifestation in the situation. That's right. God can do things without us being involved, but He's also given us the privilege and the responsibility of ministering in His name to bring His power and His glory and His blessing into manifestation. There's two aspects to miracle working. One is that God does miracles sovereignly by himself, and that's absolutely true. But it's also absolutely true that God does miracles and God brings healings. As you and I are led by the Spirit, as you and I follow the formula for spiritual power, for spiritual results, he is faithful and he will do the works. Spiritual works are done by spiritual words, according to John chapter 14, verse 10. And we are the hands and feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the head of the body. We are his hands and feet. God has no hands but our hands with which to give them bread. He has no feet but our feet with which to walk amongst the almost dead. We say that we are His and He is ours. Deeds are the proof of that, not words. And these are the proving hours. If we're going to speak, if we're going to see spiritual works done in our ministry under the power of the Holy Spirit, we need to learn to speak words as we are led by the Holy Spirit. You see, your body was designed to house the Holy Spirit. Your body and your soul were designed to house the Holy Spirit. In fact, in your physical body, you have 12 cranial nerves that branch out from the brain. Three of these nerves go from the brain to the eyes. One goes from the brain to the ears. One goes from the brain to the nose. And one goes from the brain to the taste buds. One goes from the brain to the tactile senses. Five of the 12 cranial nerves go from the brain to the motor controls of speech. Almost 50% of your nervous system is concerned with speaking. God designed your body to speak. He designed your body to speak because He knew that He would, first of all, need people and want children who would praise and worship Him with their mouths. You were designed to speak. You were designed to praise God with your mouth. That's what the greatness of speaking in tongues is all about. It's your prayer language. It's your praise language. But then you are also designed to speak as a representative of Him in this world. You see, our calling is to be priests and kings. Priests and kings. And we exercise our kingly authority in the world by the words that we speak. That is why it is very important that every time you speak, that your words are in alignment with the Word of God and they're not devilish words. See? Because your words have power, and we'll see that in this session, that your words have great power to either move the things of God by spiritual authority, or your words have power and give power to the enemy to do his work. So it's very important that you learn to speak by the Spirit of God, and it's very important that you speak words that are edifying and true and righteous words. You see, the Holy Spirit will work within you. In John chapter 14 and verse 26, it says, "The Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father shall send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." When the Holy Spirit brings words to your remembrance, for instance, Scripture from the Word of God, that is what we call inspiration. He inspires those things. He brings them up. He brings things up. There will also be, the Holy Spirit will bring revelation. He'll bring revelation, which is teaching you a new thing. It's teaching you a new thing. It's bringing new truth into your life, or new application of truth into your life, or new truth concerning circumstances into your life and how to handle a situation. He can give you revelation, or He can give you inspiration. And so many, many times, this comes as you speak. As you speak. See? This revelation, this giving forth, comes as you speak. Look at Acts chapter 2. Here in Acts chapter 2 was the first sermon on the day of Pentecost. It was the first sermon in the Christian church. And, you know, Peter didn't have time to prepare his sermon. He didn't have time all week long to prepare what he was going to say on Sunday or on the day of Pentecost when he had to get up and preach. He just opened up his mouth and began to speak. He opened up his mouth and he began to speak. And he spoke forth words as he was inspired and as it was given to him by the Holy Spirit. You know, This is what I try to do many times when I'm teaching, is I prepare, but then when I actually get up to teach, I try to just let myself be led by the Holy Spirit so that He can speak through me, so that He can teach me and show me what I need to be able to say so that I can give it to God's people. Now, I always have an outline as far as my teaching. I'm prepared, you know, the major points that I believe the Holy Spirit wants me to say. But the individual things that I say and how I say them, I endeavor to let myself be led by the Holy Spirit so that He has freedom to work within me, to will and to do of His good pleasure, so that I can speak words that build people's faith. Here, Peter just was filled with the Holy Spirit. He had just spoken in tongues. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. And he got up before that group, that multitude of thousands and thousands of people there, and just opened up his mouth in verse 14. It says, "But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them." You see, if you're going to speak by the Spirit of God, be like Elizabeth and be like Peter and open up your mouth and speak it forth. Elizabeth spoke with a loud voice. Peter lifted up his voice and spoke. You know, I hear people at times and they're trying to give interpretation or they're trying to give prophecy and they're just sort of whispering it. Open up your mouth and speak it forth. Don't be afraid. Open up your mouth and speak it forth and trust God. That's right. Let people hear what the Lord's got to say. He lifted up his voice and said unto them, "Ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. These are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing is but the third hour of the day, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel." The Holy Spirit, in just that instant of time, brought that word from Joel back to his remembrance and made it applicable to the church of the body of Christ on the day of Pentecost. Peter didn't even have time to think this all up. He just was led by the Spirit of God. He just spoke in prophecy this whole sermon. That's right. Making this wonderful application of the verse in Joel true to the church of the body of Christ today. What a great, awesome move of the Holy Spirit. And he goes through and he not only quotes Joel, but he quotes the Psalms. He quotes David in application to the life of Jesus Christ and the truth of that he was the Messiah raised from the dead. And then he gets down here in verse 34, "For David is not ascended into the heavens, but saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hands until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly," and watch how this thing came to an end. Watch how this sermon, this prophecy of Peter came to an end. "Let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye crucified, both Lord and Christ." And remember, we saw that prophecy would convict people. We saw from 1 Corinthians chapter 14 that prophecy would convict people. Look at what it says here in verse 37. "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do?" You see, when you get up to preach, let yourself be led by the Holy Spirit. When you get up to teach, let yourself be led by the Holy Spirit. Just let the Holy Spirit fill you and then keep speaking until it's done. Keep speaking until it's done. And as the Holy Spirit is working through you to speak words, He will be convicting people's hearts. He will be leading them to repentance. He will be leading them to the place of receiving His blessing in their lives. These people were pricked in their hearts, and they said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? You see, this is genuine spiritual utterance and what it should produce. You see, this is how it works. You allow yourself to be led. You get up and lift up your voice and keep giving and keep giving and keep giving until the Holy Spirit tells you to be quiet. That's right. That's when you're done. Glory to God. And you learn to speak as you're led by the Spirit of God. And we want to talk about speaking here for a few minutes. The word speak that we want to be concerned with and study is the Greek word laleo, which means to use your voice as You're being led by the Holy Spirit. This word laleo is used with speaking in tongues. It's used with interpretation. It's used with prophecy. It's used every place where it refers to speaking by the Spirit of God. This is spiritual utterance. And that, again, it can be revelation or inspiration. Look at Matthew chapter 10. Bless your heart. This is how you speak in His name. Matthew chapter 10. We've had these verses in another context before, but we'll see it again in light of this whole truth of spiritual utterance. Matthew chapter 10. But when they deliver you up, verse 19, take no thought how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what you shall speak, for it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. You see, we prepare by studying the Word, by in prayer. But then once we're in the situation, we allow ourselves to be led. We untie from the dock and we allow the wind of the Spirit to take us wherever we need to go. That's right. That's how we minister in His name. That's how we speak as the oracles of God, building faith in people's lives. See? In Acts chapter 2, in verse 4, it says, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues. That word speak, again, is the word laleo. Just as it is here in Matthew, it's the word laleo, meaning to use your voice with reference to being led by the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. See? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let the Holy Spirit lead your voice. Let Him lead your words. Don't always be so ready to jump up and say what you want to say. Wait until you know from the Holy Spirit that what you're going to say is going to be from Him and not from you. We're always so anxious to speak. We ought to be quiet. We ought to be still and wait till the Holy Spirit prompts us to speak. Then we'll speak words that are edifying and a blessing. A lot of times when you don't know what to say, the best thing to do is just shut up. That's right. Until the Holy Spirit inspires you to speak, then you'll speak words that are a blessing and a help. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, in verse 3, it says, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Spirit. That's right. You speak by the Spirit of God. You will never curse the Lord Jesus Christ. The truth of speaking by the Spirit of God can never be perverted to the end that you would curse Jesus Christ. That's what it's saying here in the Word of God. Because the words, as you're speaking by the Spirit of God, you're going to be led by the Spirit, and that Holy Spirit will always glorify Jesus Christ. That's right. If you ever hear words where people are degrading Jesus Christ or cursing Him or saying evil of Him, you know, even if it's coming from a pulpit, even if it's coming from a pastor, you know that what they're saying is not by the Spirit of God. That's right. Because the Holy Spirit will always glorify Jesus Christ. That's right. That's right. Glory to God. Look at chapter 14. Chapter 14. In verse 3, we've had this verse before, but we're picking up another truth here. In verse 3 it says, but he that prophesieth speaketh. And then that word is the word laleo. I want you to understand this word laleo. It means to use your voice as you're led by the Holy Spirit. You don't premeditate. You don't think about, you don't plan beforehand exactly word for word what you're going to say. You let yourself be led. You speak by the Spirit of God and you let yourself be led. See? You follow him. You let yourself be led. Hallelujah.
That's right.
In love, in grace, you let yourself be led by the Holy Spirit. 1 Peter chapter 4. This is one of the verses in the Word of God that leads me to believe that it's possible to never speak any evil. I haven't accomplished that yet. But I believe it's possible because I know the Lord Jesus did it. He never spoke other than what he was led by the Spirit to speak. That's right. It says in verse 11 of 1 Peter chapter 4, if any man speak, it says, if any man speak, and it doesn't just mean in the teaching situation, it doesn't just mean if you're pastoring and serving in front of a group of God's people, it says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. And this word, again, is the word laleo. Let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. I haven't gotten to this place in my spiritual growth, but I want to get to the place where I speak, and I've done it at times for a day or two, you know, at the most, but where I've just been so in tune with the Spirit of God that I just didn't speak unless I had the knowing within my spirit that I was speaking rightly. That's right. And certainly when we get into tense situations or when we're in ministering situations, we want to stay quiet until we know that we can speak by the Spirit of God, because it's only those words that's going to bring fruit and bring blessing into the situation. Just stay quiet. Stay quiet until you know in your heart that you have the inner witness, that you can speak by the Spirit of God, and then open your mouth and speak. That's right. That's right. You see, we use our voice as we're led by the Holy Spirit. We use our voice as we're led by the Holy Spirit. He leads us in speaking the right words at the right time. And he will do this. Bless his heart. Praise the Lord. And what he gives us to speak is words that build faith. He gives us words that build faith. In Proverbs chapter 25, turn there, please. Proverbs 25. This is so important to understand. In Proverbs 25, it says, a word fitly spoken, verse 11. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. This is the King James translation. A better translation of this verse would be, a word fitly spoken is like oranges of gold on trays of silver. Doesn't that just give you a beautiful mind picture? A beautiful silver tray with golden oranges stacked upon it? Doesn't it just look luscious and inviting and refreshing? That's what a word fitly spoken is supposed to do. A word fitly spoken will bring life. It'll bring healing. It'll bring faith to the hearers, see? And that's what we want to do. We want to speak words that are words fitly spoken. Look at Romans chapter 10. As you are led by the Holy Spirit to speak, you will speak words that are words fitly spoken. Romans chapter 10. In verse 17, this word that we're talking about here is the Greek word rhema. There are two basic Greek words that are used to describe the Word of God. One is the word logos, L-O-G-O-S. It means the whole Word of God. The whole Word of God from Genesis to Revelation. Jesus was called the logos. He was the Word made flesh. See? But the right word at the right time that builds faith is not called the Logos, it's called a Rhema. A Rhema. R-H-E-M-A. And we want to learn to speak Rhema, Word of God, that builds faith. You see, the right word at the right time. In Romans chapter 10, verse 17, it says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Rhema of God. The Rhema of God. If you're going to have faith, you need to hear the right word at the right time. If you're going to help others build their faith to receive the promises of God, you have to learn to speak words that are the right words at the right time. See? And this you do as you're led by the Spirit. See? As you're led by the Spirit. I was in a situation one time where we were having a little Christian get-together, a little Christian party at this woman's, this friend of mine's house, and this woman was there who had a severe back problem. In fact, she had gotten partially healed. She had been in a wheelchair, and she had gotten partially healed where she could walk without the wheelchair. You know, she didn't have to be, she wasn't confined to the wheelchair, but she hadn't received her full healing yet. And she was walking, but very, very carefully, and she would walk with a cane. She had this cane that she would walk with so that she could be supported. And she was there at this little Christian party, this little Christian get-together we were having. And I remember we were in the kitchen area, the cooking area, and some two people came into the room who were unbelievers. And they came in from the outside. They came in from outside. They came into the house. They came into the room. And they caused such a distraction, such a confusion in the group that this woman fell on the floor. And she was doubled over. And she was bound up on the floor. She was doubled over on the floor. Her back just reacted negative, you know, she reacted negatively to these people coming in, and her back just completely went out. Her back just completely went out, and she was doubled up in pain on the floor. And I was there, and I saw this whole situation, and the Holy Spirit said, pick this woman up and carry her into a back room, into a back bedroom. And if you know anything about medicine, especially about emergency medicine, is that you never touch someone. You never touch someone with a back problem. You just don't pick them up and then do this to them. But the Holy Spirit said to do it, and I said, okay, I know you're witnessing to me. I know you're telling me to do this. So we did it. We picked her up, and we carried her into the back room, away from these other people, in a quiet situation. And I knew I was supposed to pray for her. I knew I was supposed to minister healing to her. And I said, Lord, what can I say to her? What can I say to her that will build her faith so that she can receive her healing right now? And the Lord spoke one word in my spirit, and he said, condemnation. Condemnation. And I realized immediately that she was under condemnation for not receiving her healing previously. And, you know, I got down, I knelt down on the floor, I got my face right next to her face, right down there on the floor, and I said, Tawny, there's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. I quoted Romans chapter 8, verse 1 to her. And then I shared with her about how the Lord had forgiven her and how the Lord would build her faith for her healing and that she didn't need to condemn herself anymore. And I asked her if I could pray for her, and she said yes. And again, she was bound up on the floor. She couldn't move. She was just totally paralyzed. And I laid my hand on her, and I commanded her hips to go back in place in the name of Jesus Christ. And I saw her hips shake, and I saw her hips move. And then I, just as I was led by the Holy Spirit, I just went right up her back in commanding her back and the muscles and the vertebrae in her back to go back in place. And within a moment, within a minute or two, she just completely unbound, and she stood up, and she was totally, totally healed. She put aside her cane. She got rid of her walking supports, and to this day she's still able to dance, and She was an older woman. She was about 55, 60 years old. But she can dance and run and move like a 20-year-old because she was healed by the power of God. And what enabled me to minister that gift of healing to her was the fact that I spoke words of faith. I spoke a rhema to her that built her faith so that she could receive her healing. That is the greatness of a spiritual utterance, that you, by the Spirit of God, allow yourself to be led by the Spirit to the end that you speak words, the right words at the right time that release people's faith so that they can believe God and receive the blessing of God. This you do as you are led by the Spirit when you speak. This word that you speak, you allow yourself to be led by the Spirit as you speak, and you will speak words that build faith and enable the power of God to come into manifestation.